Hello, everyone. Welcome to Behind Our Eyes. This is July 21st, 2024. I'm Marilyn Smith, President, Behind Our Eyes. And we have a unique experience tonight. This is archive number 390. And two of our own members have been engaged in a project this year that's going to be very interesting to learn about. Linda McKinney-Lambert and Carol Farnsworth have a collaboration going on poetry and art. And I'm going to turn it over to them and let you tell them all about it. I mean, let them tell you all about it.
Thank you, Marilyn, and thank you and welcome to all of the BOE people that are here. Linda and I are so pleased to be able to offer this to you this evening. This is going to be a little different because we are going to intersperse descriptions of our art and our poems, and then talk about the three sections of the beginning, the collaboration, and where we go from here. In the program, you're going to hear some bells, and that's to help signal myself and Linda to know when to talk and when to be quiet. So, without further ado, let's start. January 7th. The first art is a lime green background with several dark lines. They're near the bottom of the card. The poem for this day is brailled on the front. Walking. I pause to watch a sparrow wrestle a seed from the feeder. Success! A black sunflower seed in his beak. February 7th. The picture is light pink and orange with heavy brushstrokes, light to dark. Settled. Floorboards creak. Aging, settling. Like old bones.
Hello, this is Linda. I'm going to tell you about two of my cards, one from January and one from February, the way Carol just did. The first one that I sent out, I have to say, when Carol asked me to join this project with her, I have not been painting for 17 years, and I'll explain why later. So I did not have art supplies, and I had to scramble to get them. So at first, I was just using anything I could use to make a card that could go through the mail. So that's my explanation for this first card for January. It would be the seventh one. All of our poems will be from the seventh poem from each month. This card that I made out of a show card from an exhibition that I had done, this artwork that's on the front of it is a handmade art book, and it's in an accordion kind of shape. And when you open it up and expand it out, lots of black ribbons come flowing out all around it. So it's just really unique to see. And that's what's on the cover of the card. Now, to read the poem to you, I do not create art to match the poems or vice versa. I want my poems to be standalone, and I want the artwork to be standalone. So don't expect me to have a poem here that's going to reflect the book on the cover. It won't do that. This is a poem number 7 from January. The name of it is Variable Wind. Variable wind, light snow patches on flat stones, 3 miles per hour. Variable Wind by Linda McKinney Lambert. The second one that I will share with you is the February, number 7 card for February. This card was made from a scan. I was testing my scanner, and I just happened to have 2 leaves laying here that I had dried out from my Vietnamese calorie pear tree. So I plopped these 2 leaves on the screen for the scanner. One overlaps the other, put the lid down, and did a scan. So it made a really interesting shape because the leaves are overlapping. It's very organic to look at. The scan itself has a neutral background, sort of gray color, and then where the leaves are takes up about, it's in the center at the bottom of the picture, and it takes up 1/3 of that part of the card. And it's just a very organic looking shape. You would have no idea how I made that shape by looking at it. Okay, now I'll read you the poem that I wrote for February. And this poem really grows from a memory of when I lived in California. One of the most wonderful things that I loved about California was the eucalyptus, because we don't have that here. So the name of the poem is Scent of Eucalyptus. Scent of eucalyptus melts away stress. Therapeutic aroma soothes weary body. Sea glass green magnesium flakes. Winter white bathtub. Spirit of Eucalyptus by Linda McKinney Lambert.
Well, where did this all start? If someone had told me 6 months ago I would be making paintings every day and poems, I would have thought they were liars. But that's what I'm doing art and painting every day. This was started in a workshop done by Cindy Busquet Harris. She gave us a long list of readings to and good poets. One of the poets that intrigued me, or actually it was a collaboration between Jim Harrison and Tim Kooser, called Braided Creek. And they did a poet exchange. That's not the whole name of it, but if you look up Braided Creek, you'll find it. I thought about it, and I said, I know poets. Maybe one will do it with me. So at a BOE meeting, I blatantly asked Linda, would you like to do this with me? After a hesitation, she said, okay. But she upped the ante. She said, I don't want just poetry. I want art on every card. So I said, okay. So that's what started this. Since then, we have scrambled to try to figure out first what to put on these cards. I tried Braille, as I said before, felted markers, crayons, pastels, none of them gave me a texture that I could feel. So I went to paints, first finger paints. Oh, those were great to feel, fun to play with. But I could only put two colors at a time because they would start turning to mud, a muddy brown. Then I found acrylics, or actually Linda told me about acrylics. And I started to put layers of acrylics on the card in a final layer of a clear coat to seal it. That made me able to feel the art because acrylics dry fairly fast and are a bit bumpy. So then I was feeling the cards. Let's see, after that. Linda, jump in here if you think of something I'm missing.
Do you want me to just talk about what I'm doing as well at this point?
Yeah, what you're doing and, you know, the beginning.
Okay.
Your perspective.
Okay. Yes, when Carol asked me to do this project, I immediately said yes. She says I waited a while, but I didn't. I went, oh, yes, I'd love to. And then later on, I thought, what did I say I would do? Because I said we had to paint on a card. And I just told you I haven't painted for 17 years. So with trembling, I knew that I had to begin to make art on a card. And I have an extensive background in art. I have been actively painting and making art for 48 years, and my degrees are in fine arts. So my background is in painting and printmaking and ceramics and weaving. So, but none of those things were putting art on a card and writing poems, too, for the cards. So, like Carol, I had to figure out what I would do, and I guess I was really nervous about it, to be honest. And so I began buying some art supplies, which, you know, when I lost my sight, I gave all my painting things away, everything, the whole studio I gave away. And so I had to start all over again. But the interesting thing is I had this burning in me to paint again. And about 2 years ago, I don't know why I did it, but I started buying canvases. I use gallery wrap canvases. So I ordered a couple cases of large gallery wrap canvases, and I put them in my studio. Now, since I lost my sight, I was using my studio for making pottery. For the first 8 years of sight loss, I was making pottery, and I was also doing fiber arts and weaving. But I was not painting. So I had to start buying things. But not only did I buy those large canvases, I was buying small ones too. And I did not paint small. My paintings were large. And so I'm buying a lot of small canvases too. So now I know why I sort of felt compelled to buy those things a couple of years ago, because I'm back to using them again. It is nerve-wracking when you're trying to relearn something that was just as natural to you as breathing in the past. But you know what? Your body never forgets what you did. And my hands remembered how to paint. And the more I did it, the more my hands were remembering exactly how to do it. So it's been really exciting and at times harrowing too, trying to get poems written and in the mailbox every day. But and it's a priority. And Carol and I talk to each other every day via emails and sometimes in person. So we always know what we're doing. So that's what I have to say about where I'm at right now.
Well, I should add that I am not a stranger to art. I've been in the Inside Art Contest for 7 years. But my problem was, I had always done three-dimensional art, felted pieces and tableaus and such. So when I had to put it on a little 4x6-inch card, I went, oh, boy, what am I going to put on this? But I've learned, so.
We're learning from each other, too. I mean, we both, we just give and take constantly. We're constantly learning new things, and like Carol do something, then that'll give me an idea to try something, and vice versa. We're really learning so much from each other as we're working. And I also have been in the American Printing House Insight Show. I believe I've been in the show either 9 or 10 years, and always with my mixed media fiber art. And Carol's in this year, and she has won an award this year. So, Carol, I'm happy to tell you, I will be coming. It's official. My granddaughter is taking me down. And so I'll be able to be there and see you get your award.
I told her this week that my daughter and I will be flying in for it. So it'll be quite a reunion. So,
it will be. There'll be at least three of us coming from here.
March, art. The art is a cover from a bar of Lynn's chocolate. 85% cocoa. Both Linda and I found we have shared a love of this chocolate. Poem 7. Last Snow. In my little woods, I see the outline of the dawn, hillside furrows made by man, not the same as nature's curves, cozy homes for the birds. Man looks, seeing empty space. Animals hide without a trace. Mother Nature steals the show, blanketed by fresh snow. April 7th, Cookie Moon. The card has a gold coin in the middle, followed with shades of deep blue surrounding it. The coin looks like it's floating in the air. The circle has a paint out of it that is green and brown, like a bite. Cookie moon. Moon glow darkens. Eerie quiet. Light disappearing.
I'm back again to read you two poems. These will be from March and April. Before I read them, I should say you're probably wondering, what are we doing with all these cards that are going back and forth? That's 6 a week. We each have made binders, and there's 4 months of cards in each of the 3 binders that we have. The artwork for March is, by March I'm really getting my skills back, and the intuitive part of me is kicking in. And this is a really beautiful abstract work here. This is mixed media. It's collage and painting and drawing. And it's a large shape that is diagonal, and it takes up about half of the picture plane. And it's a diagonal that goes from the top right corner to the lower left corner. And there's a triangle shape that is drawn over this form. And I work with layers of painting as well as the paints and the drawings. So there's a layering effect going on here. It's just a really very powerful work. I was very excited when I saw that I had accomplished that. So that's for March. And let me find my March poem. Okay. My poem for March is called Contentment. Contentment. Contentment lingers quietly, penetrates nighttime landscape. We stepped into a panorama, translucent purple mist, like comforting velvet shawl that obscured our valley. Contentment by Linda McKinney Lambert. Now, things are really starting to get very exciting by April. And the piece that I sent Carol for my seventh work in April is made entirely, I believe, of layers of different kinds of papers. And for me, anything is game. I can make art. In my classes at the college, I taught students, we make art out of anything. And one of my rules when we did our course in Austria every summer, it was called Drawing and Writing in Salzburg. One of the rules is every work of art that we make has to begin with something we have found. Those are called found objects. It could be a piece of paper, it could be a stick, it could be a piece of metal, it could be a brochure, it could be anything. But everything we made began with something we found. So this is a collection of found papers and found objects. And it's just really beautiful. One of the sections of it that's the farthest back in the picture started out as crumpled aluminum foil from the kitchen. And then there's layers of handmade paper over that. And these are in kind of monotone colors too. This is like silvers, deep chocolatey brown to go with her chocolate moon, and a white bar coming across below the center of the piece. It's just things are just like floating in space across the picture plane. Okay, for April, the poem I wrote for the seventh card is called Each, E-A-C-H. As an artist, this is written by an artist because we make a lot of things over a lifetime. And so those things have to be stored, they have to be cared for, they have to be kept archival. So this poem is about a little tiny sliver of what life is like in our house. Each. Each object, stacked or stored, walls, shelves, closets, packed in black archival boxes. Each by Linda McKinney Lambert.
Thank you. Well, where are we now? That's the question. I have seen both Linda and my art and poetry change and evolve. With the poetry, I started out doing haikus. As I progressed, my poems got longer and longer, and I had to put a smaller and smaller format. The poems also took on whatever I put on the front of the card. Unlike Linda, Linda makes series, which she'll talk about, her series of pictures. And the poem doesn't go with the picture. They stand alone, where mine have come more and more to be what I call a slice of the day. The picture will relate to what my poem is. the next two poems for May and June. The art is a painting of stripes like on an Italian flag. Vertical sections of green, white, and red. My foster sister was an exchange student and I've kept touch with her for over 50 years. So even though this is the Brazilian, this is not the Brazilian flag it was supposed to be, it's an Italian flag, it is still for her. May, poem 7, Brazil. Accordion, guitar. Sweet tenor croon. Words of love. In Portuguese tongue. Strong elixir. Amor. June 7th. Colors of pink and orange drift into green with bits of periwinkle. Brush strokes create the image of motion. June poem 7. Windy. Treetops dance. Petals blown off stems. Birds stay put. One young turkey leans into the wind to climb steps. Quiet descends with dusk. Mouse scampers across rocks.
I'm going to describe my card that was for this seventh card in May. When I finished this piece and looked back at it, I was just overwhelmed because it's card size, it's a postcard size. And looking at it now, I look at things with my CCTV. If I didn't know differently, I would think this painting is at least 8 feet high. And it's on a small surface, but it is extremely powerful. And here I've really found my inner self in the painting. The brush strokes are just bold, and they are just laid down with authority, and so I was really happy when I did this piece. Let me see. This is May. Let me find my May. Here we go, May. Okay. The poem that I wrote, that I put on the back of this, and as I told you, my poems will not match the work on the front because they're two entirely different processes. And I'm an abstract expressionist painter. I'm a gestural abstractionist. So my work is in that vein. This poem is called Darling Dahlias. I should say, before I read this, I am an avid gardener. Like today, I've been outside probably at least 6 hours working till an hour before this phone call. I'm outside every day. I'm out as soon as it begins to get daylight, I'm out there so that I can get a lot of work done before it gets sunny. So I write about my gardens and my experiences in my gardens and also the transcendental meanings of the gardens. So this is Darling Dahlias. Darling Dahlias, big, colorful flowers. Full, bushy plants, white, pink, bronze, fantastic vintage wheelbarrow display. Darling Dahlias by Linda McKinney Lambert. And now I'm going to read you the one for June. June is another aspect of what I have always done with working with found objects. Anything is game for me. Any piece of paper, any text, anything is game for me to use in making art. I don't say that I create art because we have only one creator and I'm not him. I make art, so I'm very clear about that. I make art out of things that I find or materials for use in making art. This is a card made from an advertisement for Prego spaghetti sauce. So that's boldly right across the top right hand of the card. But there's pictures of things that are made with the Prego sauce. Foods, beautiful foods. But there's three different places in this, this would have been a label from the jar. There's three different places in there where there's words that are inserted in over top of the pictures. And those forms were exactly the size of my mailing stickers. So in each of those three places, I have overlaid the Prego text and put in Linda Lambert, 104 River Road, Elwood City, PA, on each one of them, and they're all three different. One has an animal on because I'm really wild about animals, especially wildlife, and rescuing, and especially cats. I have seven of them. And then another label that overlays is just a real classic label that has a marbleized background with a big letter L to the left. And another one is something that I care a lot about. It's the American flag and the Israeli flag together on the label. And then, of course, with my name and address. So that's what I did for June, and I will read you my poem for June. Before I read the poem, I'll just give you a sentence or two about a backstory. Every year, I select one word. I've been doing this for maybe 10 years or so, and that one word is my word for the year. It's a word that I live with and think about and just hold inside of me for the whole year. So my one word for this year is faithfulness, and that's referring to me being faithful to God in my life and in following his ways for my life. So this is called Faithfulness is Certain. Faithfulness is certain. Give God praise every day. Thankfulness, 24 Seven. Faithfulness is Certain by Linda McKinney Lambert.
Thank you, Linda. As Linda said, that God is a part of both of our lives. I send Linda 6 days a week a poem written by the Dominican sister, sort of an inspirational poem. And it always seems to fit with what's going on in our day. So that helps us center ourselves on what we have to do that day. The other poem, or as Linda said, that her art has gotten back, I am starting to get the ability to take photographs again using the iPhone VoiceOver in settings. I can use my phone and it'll tell me if I need to turn left, turn right, tilt it up, tilt it down. When I finally get it level, I don't worry anymore. I take what I have. If it is a something that I want to take that's an animal, I actually cheat and have John take the picture because they move too much. But if it's a picture of, say, a flower or something stationary, I will work and try to take it myself. As we've gone along this journey, we've had people very interested in what we're doing. One of the people is Charles Portolato. He would like to do a special weekly avocent with our art and poetry. We have sent him 6 samples, and he's been delighted. So that may be something in the future. Also, I took some of the art and showed it to a place called Meyer Garden and Sculpture Park, which is an international art exhibit area. And they were very interested in the texturing, and they also may want to have a showing. My last poem.
And, okay,
yes.
Sorry.
If you got something to say, just say it.
I thought I was supposed to come in and say about the other place that we've shared this with, so I'll go ahead and say it.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. It's American Printing House for the Blind. Carol and I have both been very involved for nearly a decade with the art shows there. As I said, you know, we'll both be there. I'll be there seeing her get her award and celebrating with her. And so I was asked in March to do an interview for International Women's Month, and Meg interviewed me. Meg's in charge of the art programs there. And so I've been in the art business a long, long, long time, and I've done many exhibitions all over the world. And I know that when somebody is gracious enough to ask me to do an interview, that's the perfect opportunity for me to tell them about something new and exciting or to ask for something. So if it's appropriate, usually it'll work into the conversation. I'm very careful about that. But I was able to share what we are doing with Meg Outland. And so she's very aware of what we're doing, very excited about it, and definitely wants kept in the loop to know, you know, how it's going and all that. So we're just really blessed to have these different organizations and people that are excited. Everybody I talk to about this project, I mean, just people in my everyday life that really have nothing to do with poetry or art, they're very excited about it because it's unique. So that's all I'll say. Back to Carol.
Okay. Well, we tease each other and refer to each other as the blind artist poets, but that puts it in perspective. That's why I think people are intrigued. How can blind people do art and do good art? And poetry, we should all be able to do poetry, but art intrigues them. So that, I think, is the hook. And I think both Linda and I will be showing that art is possible. When we're done, right now we have 200 pieces of art, and we'll have 100 more by the end of the year. This is my last poem for July. Oh, we also picked, Linda picked the day that we would use the art from. We were trying to think, how could we get a piece or one part, one from each month and not play favorites? And Linda said, let's do the 7th poem from each month. 7th is a biblical completion. Mm-hmm. So that's why we ended up doing poem 7 from each month. July 7th. The art was inspired by a raccoon in a security camera. The painting is black, purples, and grays. Night visitor, out of the shadows, he walks the wall to the dark, watery pool. It calls, inviting him. Stepping in, enjoys a long drink.
We were worried about the bell ringing because when we did two trial runs, we didn't do it so well. Great. We're doing okay, though. Let's see. The poem that I did for July is called Seven Signifies Completion. And I was really excited when I realized that this would be the last poem I would read because it's just the perfect ending for what we've been talking about. Carol said, that's just the perfect one. So I just pulled seven out of my mind, you know, because it being the number of completion and a sacred number. And Carol will probably choose the number that we do the next time we do a program. But I got my way this time. Okay. Seven signifies completion. Our pilgrimage calls us. Our journey is halfway there. Blank paper waiting. My mailbox half empty. Waiting for brushstrokes. Poetic lines unwritten. More stamps to purchase. Seven Signifies Completion by Linda McKinney Lambert.
It's now the question and answer time. Time for you guys to talk.
There we go. This is Carrie. This is Carrie Hooper.
Carrie, if you can wait just a second.
Sure. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I certainly want to thank you and compliment both of you. It's just, I know we have Carrie so eager with a question, but I decided I'm going to give you two just a moment to rest and contemplate, and I'm going to do the quick commercial now for what's coming. And Marlene earlier had said that it had been a while since we'd all gathered together, and indeed it has been, but the first week of August, we are going to be quite busy, and we will have the board meeting with Marilyn, of course, conducting the board meeting on August 4th, the first Sunday in August. And quickly after that, Carol will be, of course, in charge of the Reader's Workshop. But I think in August, the moderator will be Abby Taylor. And that will be the Tuesday of that first week. And then we were talking about Leonard's book earlier, his latest book. And Leonard will once again be interviewed by Brad Corallo. And we are looking forward to Leonard's third book launch on that Thursday of the first week. And it's going to be an earlier time, 6 o'clock Eastern, August. And if we can, just one other event in August, and that will be Donna Halper will be our guest speaker on the third Sunday of August, August 18. And I've heard her speak a number of times, and I think all of you are going to be very, very excited to hear her speak. And so, with my little commercial over, compliments to you ladies. It's just wonderful to hear about your project. And so, Carrie, now you can ask your question.
Before she does this is Abby. I'm sorry. I'm confused, Alice, because you said Carol is in charge of Reader's Workshop,
I'm
moderating it?
In charge of all of Reader's Workshop, but you're moderating.
Oh, in charge... Right. Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry. I just was confused. Thank you for clearing that up. Okay, Carrie, it's all yours. Take it away.
Not a problem. Well, first of all, I want to thank Carol and Linda. I want to thank both of you for sharing your unique project with us and reading your poems. You both read beautifully. And my question is, so I noticed you were describing your art and stuff. So did you keep copies of your cards that you sent out so you'd have them? And also, did you write the poems directly on the cards, or did you write them on computers and then print them out onto cards? And how did that all work? I'm interested in both of those things.
Oh, good question. Linda, I'll let you do the first one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Copies. I don't have a copy of anything I have sent to Carol at all. The only thing I have is that I wrote the poem, and I have saved those, of course, into my. I save them by the month. You know, I have a folder for each month.
But
the reason I have no copies. It is very unlikely for me to ever put something out without having an image of it. But I've had huge, huge computer problems. And with the new computer, my scanner was not compatible, so I had to get rid of that. I've had to get rid of my printer.
So basically, you're doing the descriptions from memory. Then your descriptions of each month.
No, Carol's husband scanned the pictures from the cards that I sent, so I would be able to tell you. I have no idea what's on any of the cards once they leave here.
Oh, okay. Well, that was very lovely of him. So he did those special for your presentation. That's great.
Yes. So that's how I was able to do it. I was really worried about what I would do. But it worked out. I really appreciate that very much.
Well, me too. But it sounded so smooth the way you did it. And then.
Well, there is a happy ending to this story. My daughter and I went shopping last night, and I came home with a fabulous new laser printer and scanner. So in a matter of days, I'll be back to the old me, able to copy everything and keep track of my stuff.
Terrific. Terrific.
Go ahead, Carol.
Okay, as for me, I keep a copy of every single poem, and I have a special folder. So I do have all my poems. As for the art, both of us will hopefully have each other's art pieces. All of Linda's are in the folder in my house, and all of mine hopefully are in Linda's folder.
Yeah.
We've had a little bit of problem, especially at the beginning of this, because especially Linda's, must be because she's the best artist, hers kept coming up missing, and we finally complained to the post office. I don't know what happened, but most of them are going through now, but that's been very interesting. Every once in a while, I think one goes to the beach before it comes to one of us.
But you've gotten everything, now you've got everything accounted for, though. You've got everything.
No. In January alone, 20 of my 30 cards never made it.
That was
how we started out. Believe me, upset is beyond. So I stopped my mailman in February, and I told him, I explained to him what we were doing, how he would see a card in my mailbox every day and why. And then I asked him, I told him what my situation was for January. I thought he would just die. He said, Linda, if it was two or three cards, that would be possible. He said, that many cards missing,
there's no way.
So after I had that talk with him, I don't know what he did, but my guess is he talked to my local postmaster, and we may lose one or two, huh, Carol? Maybe one or two a month.
Linda, did you put the postcards into an envelope, or did you just send them as postcards?
Yeah, they go out as postcards. Because they are postcards.
Yes.
Yeah. And as for the second question, I take my poems and I print them out and put them on the card because it's the easiest way to read them. And some of my poems are longer than others, so I can play with the font and make sure that they fit.
So you take the you take the paper you print out and you cut it and just tape it on the card or glue it? Okay.
Yes, double-sided tape is wonderful. Very strong.
Yes. Terrific.
And this is Alice again, and I must say I read the book Braided Creek by Ted Kooser and the other gentleman with whom he collaborated, and what you have shared thus far and on the Writer's Party line and with me and so forth, what you have done is just 10 times, if not 100 times or 1,000 times better. And I just can't wait till this entire project is in a book that we can just sit down and read and enjoy. Because when they did their collaboration, they only shared poems, each of which was only one sentence. And that book was, I'm sure, highly taunted and so forth, but what you two have done together is just truly so much more in giving to each other as you collaborate and also giving to your readers and all the people who will as well eventually see your book. But it's just a wonderful project, and I thank you for bringing it to us this evening. Who else has a question?
This is Marlene. I was just going to say.
Marlene, go ahead.
Could you talk a little bit about the plan for a book beyond the project? And I'm glad Alice mentioned that.
Well, we're hoping the Insight American Printing House might want to print it for us. Mm-hmm. That's what we're hoping, and that's sort of why we're going to the Insight conference this year to see if we can get some interest in them printing it. So that's what I think we're hoping. Linda?
So are you saying Braille and print? Hopefully.
Oh, we're in no position yet to even make those kinds of decisions.
No.
Oh.
No, it'll take us a year probably to coordinate it and get it together.
Yes.
But those are, you asked for long term. That's what we're hoping.
Yeah. Thank you.
We're just remaining open, and we know that when we get it together, everything will come together, and we'll just be patient. And but that is our hope, that we would get it printed. Mm-hmm. Or we will get it printed. But it would probably be toward the end of next year before we would be to that point, because we have going to have over 600 poems to sift through and images. Yeah, so it's really a big project. And the other thing is,
before I ask you for your question, because I know you had a question also. I know we had a few people come in after we started, so if, as we go on here, if some of you who, those three or four of you who came in afterwards, if you would please identify yourselves, I would really appreciate that. I always keep a little list here of who all joins us. So, Terry, would you like to ask your question now?
Oh, boy, I really have several, but I'll just, because I want everyone to get a chance, maybe it's just because my blindness from shortly after birth is such that I just don't have a visual reference of how this can happen. But considering the small size of a 3x5 or even a 4x6 card, I guess I just don't understand, like especially when I look at Braille art, because I have a book entitled How to Create Braille Art with Your Perkins Braille Writer. But anyhow, I know you guys are doing it with painting or sometimes painting and drawing, but I guess I just don't understand how it's possible to get a picture on such a small card and to have it come out as beautiful and in the right proportions as I know it does. I guess I just don't understand how that can be done and how that's possible.
Well, I'll start. First of all, my blindness is complete, so I'm doing it with no vision either. But
okay.
I know where the edges of my cards are. And I have, what do they call this? Real fat.
A ruler?
Painting brush.
Maybe?
No, it's a paintbrush that's got like a little
spot
into it. So I move it around, and of course I use gloves so that I can touch my fingers. So I pick three colors that I like,
okay.
And those are the three colors, and I'll put one color on, and I'll let it dry, and then the next color I'll put in a different place, or maybe a different pattern, and then that'll dry, and then maybe a third, no more than three, I put more than three, it looks like a mess, but three different colors, and the final coating is a clear matte coating that puts a nice ending to it. And what happens is, it looks like, as Linda said, abstract art, but I go and I show somebody who's visual, I said, can you see anything in this? And they usually say, oh yeah, that sort of looks like this. So that's what it becomes.
Oh,
Linda?
Okay.
I'll just say that Carol's painted cards are exquisite. She captures the atmosphere. She captures the colors of a landscape. She captures light. They are just marvelous. My family, of course, loves to look through these cards. As I said, we put them in binder. Everything is in order in the binder, in the order they come in. Everything's in transparent pages. And so you can sit down and turn the pages, and you can see two cards at a time. And when my family comes to visit, I always get out Carol's binder and I'll say, oh, look at the new cards that have come this month. And they will sit here and look at them and they're just thrilled. There are many, many people who are totally blind that are fantastic artists. It's not unusual. In fact, I studied with Akiko Katani, a Japanese-American artist who also has been my friend for many years and a mentor to me all the way through my education. Mm-hmm. And she's world famous. And she would work in her studio at night with no lights on so that she could not see.
Oh.
All of her drawings that you would see in a show were done in total darkness. Because the body knows how to paint. The body knows how to make art. It's not a thing that just the eyes do. The entire body, your intellect comes into it, your intuition, your inspiration. And it's amazing. And then another artist from Pittsburgh, I was at a show once in a really fantastic building in Pittsburgh, and she was a featured artist there, and she was totally blindfolded. She was doing all of her work totally blindfolded, and she was there. They were featuring her art, but people could come in and see her working in real life, and she was totally blindfolded. The work is, because art doesn't come from our eyes. It comes from our spirit. It comes from our whole body, our whole being. It's just beyond anything that you can really comprehend sometimes. just wonderful.
So you don't start out like trying to paint a flower or a heart or a
butterfly. I would never do that. I would never do that. That is not my calling. I did that for, you know, I was a realist painter for about 10, 12 years, very successful doing international shows. But no, I am a gestural abstract painter. That's my love. That's my passion. That's my spirit.
And you said it's acrylic that's feelable, correct? Acrylic paint.
Well, most all paint materials are if they're applied heavily and, you know, in layers. And just how depends on how you apply the material.
Yeah. Linda said the last one I sent her felt like leather. That's how thick some of them are.
Oh.
Yes. Like a piece of leather, it felt like. It had the feeling, I would almost swear I had leather in my hands.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she has all kind of mark making. You know, here's something that's really important to understand about art and writing.
Yes.
When one mark is put on the paper, you now have content. If you pick up a brush and you or a pencil and you put a mark on that paper, it's no longer a piece of paper. It is now content on that paper. And it's the same with writing. When I start a poem, I might lay down a word. The moment that word is laid down, I now have content to work with. Isn't that amazing?
Gotcha. Thank you, Terry, for your questions and observations. And who else has a question for us this evening?
It's a comment. I am reading a book by Lloyd Burlingame that he wrote to life. He started out as an artist and screen designer, costuming as well. And when he went blind, I met him in 1998 when we were both getting guide dogs. It was his first. My sixth, I believe. He was in class with me and had a guide dog, and he loved cats. Quite a learning experience for him. Was almost nil. Talked about his journey, him to be an artist, what drove him to design, because he said he needed to tell the story that was unseen. And so that was his driving principle, was to explain. Everything so that you understood the character and the play. So started from, and as he lost his vision, prodigal, got a very large together, bit of money to do it, and he made this gigantic of his life.
Deanna, he made gigantic what? You cut out, you're cutting out a little bit on my phone anyway.
He, on paper that ran of this 80-foot room, childhood all the way where he was left white. The Sinai actually has some of his fabric art when he was doing art quilts, textures, and three of them hang in the downtown lounge. Going there can go feel quilts.
And you were cutting out again, the lounge of the Seeing Eye?
The downtown lounge where students wait between walking routes in the town.
Okay.
And so any student can, who's waiting there, can go look at these quotes that are on the walls.
Okay.
Wow.
And so I thought it was such an interesting book. It's available on Bard as an audio book. And I thought that Linda and Carol might enjoy it because it was another blind artist and his journey.
Maybe you can share the title and author and DB number sometime when you have time on the writer's party
line.
Yeah,
I'll post it. Yeah.
That would be nice.
I'll post it on the party line.
Yeah, thank you, Deanna.
So anyway, that's
Carol,
something I wanted to share.
Carol, would you and Linda like to
his book
comment or respond in some way?
Yeah, I'd like to read the book. Definitely, I'd like to have the information.
Yes, that sounds very good. Thank you for that, Deanna.
I have a question. This is Marilyn. When you did your fiber art, this is a little bit of a sideline from the main project, but did you do it with cloth or with weaving? I know you can do, I know we can do art with quilting or with crochet or knitting, but what medium did you all use?
Well, I
Go ahead, Carol.
I knitted it. I knitted it, and I super-sized knit so that I could shrink it because mine has to be felted. So it was, when I did the one that won, which was a blind date with two pigs, my pigs were about 2 feet long, and they shrunk down to about 12 inches.
Wow.
So.
That's cool.
What kind of yarn did you use, Carol?
Excuse me?
What kind of yarn did you use?
Oh, it has to be wool. Wool is the only thing that will felt. 100% wool and not washed wool.
But when you made them so large, did you use the really thick yarn that is... with the big jumbo needles or?
No, worsted weight at normal 9 to 12 millimeter needles.
Okay, thank you.
I felted a sweater once that I did not mean to felt.
I think we've all done that.
When I was working on my BFA, I was a painting major, but I also was weaving the whole time. So I was doing felting and dye, a lot of dyeing, and I was doing Japanese shibori and batiks and weaving tapestries. So when I had my final show, it was painting and tapestries. So I eventually had a loom like the size of this room I'm sitting in. I had done a commission for Slippery Rock University while I was in graduate school. It gave me enough money to buy this fabulous custom-made loom and all kinds of yarn. So I just poured everything right back into what I do. But now I do, it's called encrusted beadworking. It's like a medieval way of working. I had one lesson in it before I lost my sight. I had lost half my sight when I signed up for a class in Pittsburgh to learn encrusted beadworking. I wasn't even able to get through the whole, it was a 4-hour workshop. I went in there with like lights and magnifiers on top of my glasses and all that. And by the time the workshop was half over, my sight was just, I was totally done. I couldn't even see to do anything more. But that was my only experience with doing that. So when I did lose the rest of my sight, I already had started on my own to figure out how to do encrusted beadworking, and I've done it ever since. I think everything I've had in the Insight Show has been encrusted beadworking.
I think you're right, except for the one.
Yeah.
There was one of a child in a swing.
What does encrusted mean?
It's beadworking. It's like Baroque. Like Baroque art is like real high energy and just layers upon layers upon layers. That's what it means. It just literally means encrusted. It's just layers upon layers upon layers. And really, the reason I can do it so well is because I'm an abstract artist, and that's what I do. Yeah. I work in tons of layers. So it just came natural for me to use beads. I cannot see the colors of the beads. I can't even see the beads, even with my CCTV. I can't see them. But I would never work with more than three colors at a time, and I would tell my husband what colors I wanted and what size beads I wanted, and then I would lay, this is how I still do it, I lay them down in three separate places, and then 90% of what I do in the beadworking, I'm sitting there with my eyes completely closed while I'm doing it.
Do you glue them to the surface?
Oh, no. Glue is a swear word. You never, ever glue anything.
How do you keep them together?
Everything is stitched. There may be 6 to 8 stitches going through every single one of those teeny beads.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
Mm-hmm. When you're talking about fiber art, you never, ever use glue.
I'm going to get you off the topic of art for just a moment and ask you a poetry question. And, of course, it relates to National Poetry Month. Isn't everyone surprised? Now, my question is, I think many of us have gotten that feeling as we get into that National Poetry Month in April that we get sort of in a groove of writing a poem a day. And then come May, it almost seems like, we're missing something, not writing a poem and so forth. And I just wonder, are you taking Sunday off or are you writing each day? And I know, Linda, you've talked about doing so many of the postcards up to a certain stage at a time. And so forth, and so I guess I am talking a little bit about art also, but that everyday aspect of your project, do you find it invigorating and inspiring and so forth? Are you just enthused so much about it that you don't at all mind writing the poem a day, but how do you feel about that aspect? Instead of doing for a month, to do this for a year.
I find it now to be like breathing. It's as normal as breathing. Like I wrote 3 poems today. I will write at least one every day, but I'm writing even more than one a day. I'm just like breathing these things out, you know. It's like I go to sleep thinking about them. I wake up thinking about them. When I'm out in the gardens, I'm gathering imagery to bring back to my computer to put, you know, down on the page. And I don't feel like it's something I have to do. I don't feel like, oh, why did I say I'd do this? Now what? You know, it just has become my normal day to write.
I agree with that. It's just part of my routine. I get up, I look at my email, I go and say, look outside if there's something happening. It ends up in a poem. The other day we had 2 little does laying on top of our hill, and they were cute because one was asleep and the other one was wide awake and like he was the watch person. Mm-hmm. And that just says, oh, that will be a good poem. I haven't written that one yet, but that would be a good one. So, yeah, there's all sorts of things to put into poems, and I don't seem to have any problem thinking of something to do. Go ahead.
Our poems come from what we find in the day, what we think about.
Well, that's
yes,
very
we call
good.
It. It's a slice of the day. Go ahead, Alice. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Well, that's okay. Thank you. And I know that come next to April, we can certainly look forward to a poem from each of you each day now.
No problem.
It's inspiring to all of us, certainly what you've done, and so much to think about, all that you've put into this project. Does someone else have a question or comment? Linda,
yeah,
is there anything else that you can think of that you've not touched on yet that you would like to add and share with us?
I would like to say something about abstraction. To me, the word abstract is the most beautiful word in the world. I am so inspired when I think of it. But it's about making, whether we're making a poem or whether we're making artwork. It's all about making. And abstraction is about process. It's an abstract artist doesn't think, oh, what shall I paint? Will I paint this tree? Will I paint whatever? The abstract artist says, how will I use these materials? What will I make with these materials? So it's coming from an entirely different place, and that's known as I would say it's intuitive. We are touching, we are reaching into ourselves. It's intuitive. It's very physical. We are aware of using the whole body. We're not just using our eyes and our fingers. We're using our whole body, and we can use anything. We can use any kind of paint. We can use anything we find. It's very physical. It's about physicality. We make pictures. We think of we are making pictures, but these are very physical, honest pictures. They're about our environment. They're about ourselves. They're about things we're thinking about. And the most important thing of all, and this makes the difference, this is what makes the abstract artist. The abstract artist knows that what is on that canvas is a relic. It is not the work of art. The work of art is what we went through in the process of working with the materials and of making this thing. And what you see on the canvas is what's left over after we have made the art. It's a relic. It's what we leave behind. That is a very different concept than what a lot of people understand art to be. So our way of thinking about art is entirely different. So I just really wanted to emphasize that, because a lot of times I hear someone use the word abstract, and it's used in a very negative way, mm-hmm. and it's used in a way that is not correct and does not address what abstract means. And I know there are a number of poets in BOA that do write in abstraction. I love to read their works. Because I understand what they're doing when I read it and I can see it. And I just think that it's something that isn't talked about very much. And so I really wanted the opportunity to express my own experience in making abstract art. And certainly those characteristics carry over into my poems. That's it.
Linda, perhaps sometime when you do post onto the Writer's Party Line an abstract poem, you can identify it as such for the members who are reading that.
Yeah.
You think about
that.
Yeah,
it's working in layers in the poem. You've read dozens of my poems that are made the same way my artwork is made. Because that's when I sit down to work, I'm working in layers upon layers. And most of the things I do are done that way.
Well, thank you for that explanation. Carol, what would you like to add?
Well, I would just like to say that this year has made me explore small tiny poems. And they've been growing and growing. But I've looked at different kinds of poems, and that, like the art, the more you look for them, the more you'll find. So I've been doing different types of poems. And I'm even, Marlene, you'll like this, that I'm starting to get into rhyming. But anything else? I think Linda has covered the art quite well. I think we work well together, and we certainly laugh and have fun. So I think that's also a big part of our project and interchange. It's the
if you would have heard us rehearsing this, laughter upon laughter. We just had so much fun that we thought, we're never going to get this together.
Oh, you wouldn't have wanted to hear the first time we did this. Linda's dog did not want us to do it. Yeah, the Linda's dog cried and whined the whole time, so we had to make sure she wasn't going to be in the area.
I couldn't do the bell thing. I just couldn't get myself together. I would say, am I supposed to do it now? I'm so confused.
Well, it was such a beautifully presented event. I mean, you really took us there.
Well, thank you.
Is there something from your collaboration, from your project, that you did not expect, that you have found very satisfying or stimulating, that you've not yet mentioned?
Just that I love surprising the visual world, that yes, you can be blind. Yes, you can be an artist.
Yes.
Yes, you can put it together.
Yes. I'll say when I first lost my sight, I went to a low vision specialist, and naturally that's what I'm upset about because I couldn't make art. The heck with everything else. That was like my life. And so he told me when I come back to bring a piece of art that I was working on when this happened to me so he would know where I'm at. And I did. And he said to me, you will make art again. He said, you will paint again. He said, you just won't do it the same way, but you will do it. So that's what you know, his affirmation to me that regardless of the fact that I couldn't see much of anything, I could make art again, because that was like the most important thing that's like my core, really. And but I did not even try to paint again, because that was just way too painful. I just tried never even to think of painting again. So I was painting with a needle and thread and beads and all those fiber art pieces that I create. And I still do that. Mm-hmm. But, I believed that I couldn't even make art again. You know, I had just given up on ever painting again. So that's why when Carol asked me to do this, I thought, have I lost my mind? Telling her we need to put art on the card. I just still can't believe that come out of my mouth, but who knows?
And since you said Cindy Bousquet Harris through the poetry workshop was really the stimulus to bring the two of you to this project, what have you had the opportunity to talk with her about it, and what has she responded, if you have had opportunity to discuss this with her?
Well, I wrote to her when the Spirit Fire Review came out, and I told her what we were doing, and she was over the moon, and she says, I want to see it when it's done. So she's right on board with it.
Yeah, I thought she would be. And
she's absolutely thrilled that the two of us came together through the workshop that we took. And she's also absolutely thrilled that the six of us that were in our workshop are still together, and we're still having an assignment that we do every month
and we still meet every month. And she's thrilled that that came out of her workshop. But it just was really wonderful how we all got together. And we have so much in common. We're all very different, but we have so much in common. And we're very relaxed and comfortable with each other. We talk about crazy things sometimes. It's always
sometimes
fun.
We'll fall into a theme, and it will surprise us all. How did we get here from there?
And how we all looked at something from a, like
different.
One of our things was to create something that had to do with a carousel. If each one of us created such a different carousel, it was just remarkable. It was just awesome.
Well, that's really nice to hear. And just in case we have any new or relatively new members here this evening, or a new member who may listen to the archived recording later on, we're talking about Cindy Bousquet-Harris, who conducted a poetry workshop for Behind Our Eyes, the people who signed up for the workshop, and that was last, October into early November. And that was so very successful, as you can tell from all that came from that experience. So I'm glad we have the opportunity to mention that this evening. So question from anyone or a final comment?
Before you do that, I was going to say that Cindy is going to have another workshop. That's what she said. So
well, she's
look
proposed
forward
one.
To
we have
seeing
to
it about.
Consider
yeah,
it
proposed
at the board meeting. Yeah. Form poetry.
Sorry.
Well, that sounds exciting. Again, something to look forward to. So any other final question or comment from someone? We certainly appreciate what a fine attendance we've had this evening for Carol and for Linda and for our learning about this wonderful project. So I thank you all so much for coming this evening. And Marilyn, I'll hand it back to you.
I have nothing more to add except to thank our presenters. What a great job you did. And thank everybody for coming. And we'll hopefully see you all on August 4th. We've got some interesting topics that we need to work through at the board meeting. Take care.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good evening.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Wonderful.
Thank you.